Welcome to Geek Actually, episode 56 for the 17th of October, 2009. I just realized I adjusted everybody's camera but my own. There we go. That's better. Hello, everybody. My name is David McVeigh, and I'm your host of this I don't know, what is this show? Sometimes I don't know.
Madness.
This madness. Sometimes I don't even know what this show is. Let me just introduce a few people around the table here. First of all, we have, let's get the cameras right. Josh, how are you?
I'm good. I have my energy drinks. I am ready, and it's not actually that early this morning. We're actually kicking off about 25 minutes late, which earns our ish time as usual.
And so we're actually, right on I think time. This now rates as our latest start ever for the live show.
Yeah, so we're getting a bit slack.
We are getting a bit slack.
We need to pull that back in, definitely.
I'd like to state for the record, it wasn't my fault.
No. Dave was on time this time, and we're all very proud of him.
I was about to say, that third voice you're hearing coming in there is Dave Kozicki. How are you, Dave?
Dave is jacked up on coffee and ready to rock.
All right. We're all a bit jacked up on coffee. We're all a bit tired, and we're all a bit cold and fluey, I think. So it's going to make for a kind of an interesting show this week, I think. All right. So just a reminder for those who are listening to the audio podcast and are wondering what we're talking about, adjusting cameras and stuff, you can watch us live. At the moment, we may be changing this. I don't know. We're still pondering it. But at the moment, you can join us every Saturday morning, Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. We just changed at 11 a.m.-ish. This is UTC plus 11. Now, I have done some quick calculations, and I could be slightly wrong, but I believe that is 5 p.m. Pacific or 8 p.m. Eastern for our North American listeners, who make up half our audience. We have picked up more Australian audience members, which isn't always nice to know. And just while we're talking about live feeds, I also want to put out a quick plug out there and say you can also catch every Monday evening at 7 p.m., the New Geek Actually podcast, which is hosted by these two people over here, Josh and Dave, called Platforms, which is now on iTunes as well, so you can download the audio podcast.
Please do.
And I got to tell you, for a maiden voyage last Monday, you guys did phenomenally well.
Yes, it was a brilliant show. It was incredibly funny. It was, and I'm not just trying to plug. I'm not just trying to plug myself here. I actually thought that we had a really kick-ass show, and we owe half of it to the chat room. You guys were awesome. And
yeah, we were actually a little bit surprised at how many people turned up in the chat room for first show. It was really quite amazing.
Because we had no idea what the hell we were doing the entire time.
It was guerrilla photography at best.
And it will be for the next couple of weeks. But that kind of adds to the charm of that show,
It really does.
We're sticking with that?
So stick with that.
Okay.
It was working very well. So you can catch that on Monday night, 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. UTC plus 11. I don't have the quick calculations off the top of my head, but it's like 1 o'clock in the morning Pacific, I think.
The geeking hour.
The geeking hour, as they would say. Okay, so what are we doing today? Today we've got, you guys are going to give us something on games, I hope, because
yep,
I haven't got any games
for
you.
Yeah, we got a few little things.
Okay, we got a little bit of tech.
Is that what we have to do?
Crap, man. We need to think. Dude, powwow, right now.
Yeah, quick.
All right, so we've also got a little, look, just failing that, we got a little bit of tech, we got a little bit of entertainment news. It's been, you know what, guys, I got to tell you, it's been a dead zone.
Me and Dave sat up last night trying to pull down, this is obviously Dave on this side, yeah. I've got to start getting this, it's so confusing, there's two of you.
David.
Me and David sat up last night.
Yeah, vid as in the video guy.
There you go.
Yeah. David. Okay.
Or you can call me the D-Train if you want, you know, it's fine.
D-Train.
Me
and David sat up last night trying to find a few extra pieces to fill the news, and it was a graveyard out there.
Yes, it was.
There's all this kind of half news.
And there's all these articles where they have sensational headlines, and then you read the article and go, boy, that's a non-story.
Yeah, there's actually nothing happening. Or it'll be those great things where it'll be like, you know, Bryan Singer to create new giant epic three thing, but we don't actually have the information and we're not actually sure when it's happening, and you're like, why would you even post that?
Yeah, what's the point in this news story? So I guess the news people have to fill up their space with something, and I guess we're kind of in the same boat. So we're going to make it up.
No way, man. We have cold, hard facts for people, man.
and barring any unforeseen circumstances, I can talk underwater, so I can definitely pad out.
Can you talk while gargling? This would make a good show.
I don't gargle. I don't know what you've heard. I don't know what people have been saying, but no.
All right, so later in the show, though, we will get a little bit meatier on it, though, because we're going to discuss Duncan Jones' new film, Moon, which is, I think, pretty well received by everybody. But we'll come back to that a little bit later on.
It's about frat boys, isn't it? And our spring break.
At this point, we would normally do our feedback section, but this week, as with the news, everything is quiet. We didn't even receive any feedback this week. So,
come on, guys.
Get your act together. We need some feedback.
Data Mike, feedback right now.
No. Well, I'm not going to get it if he sends it right now. So, so for next week's show, we need feedback, guys. Send in your opinions. In fact, I would actually really here's a question for you guys out there. I'd be really curious to know what you thought of Moon, if you saw it, because when you hear our review on it, we were very
we're always keen to see what other people thought, and we will obviously say it live on air.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now we're going to roll this straight into some gaming. What do you guys got?
All right, well, look, I'll kick off first.
And I'm passing the ball to Josh.
Okay. I'd like just to remind everyone that we've had a lot of big releases over sort of the last week period. Everyone should make sure that you get into the game stores and ask what's around. Probably the picks at the moment, Uncharted 2, probably one of this year's most anticipated titles, has finally hit shelves and has an incredibly high Metacritic rating of 9.6, which is basically, I think, 44 different publications. They take every review number and they put it together and give you an average, and 9.6 is an incredible feat. There's very few games that get that high.
I mean, just to put that into perspective, I believe that Jesus's Metacritic rating is only 9.5, so...
Well, there you go. So, yeah, fantastic game, and it's selling ridiculously already. The numbers are huge. Also, Brutal Legend came out, Tim Shaver's last game. We've pushed this so much in the show.
Decapitation! Sorry, I happen to know that you actually bailed on me last Tuesday because you were playing Brutal Legends.
Maybe.
You can't fault the guy for that, man.
Look, I will probably kick a lot more of that off in platforms and give that a proper review.
Absolutely.
But I will just say that, it's definitely been an interesting experience playing through that. And Tim Schafer always delivers interesting storylines in everything he does. So, get out and check out those two. There are a couple more releases. Operation Flashpoint has also been released for the hardcore shooter. And I mean hardcore. Mm. One shot will kill you in this game. Understand that, even on easy.
It's a very, very, very realistic war strategy game, I guess. I'd call it more that than actually
war strategy in a way. It really is. It's hard. It's difficult to get into. It is a fantastic game, but definitely only for the hardcore fans. Those would be my sort of three picks over the thing. We have more games coming out every week. This is a big period of time for the gamers, so check out platforms because we will be talking more about it then.
I love the fact that it's become this really big time for gaming and a really shit time for movies.
Well, this is pretty much the nirvana for game geeks this time of year. I mean, it's the lead up to Christmas, so everyone's trying to do their massive launches, and because so many, I guess for lack of a better word, titles have shat themselves because of Modern Warfare 2 coming out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Everything's been... I mean, a lot of titles have just ducked and covered. And they're like, yeah, you know, we're not going to release in November. You know, January, February sounds pretty good. So, you know, you've had a bunch of titles slip, which has actually extended the gaming awesomeness.
Yeah.
So usually, it's probably going to play... Because, Josh will testify that January, February is like a dead zone for gaming.
Yeah, it will be interesting to have that happen because usually it doesn't. Usually you get inundated with so many titles that you just have the stack next to your table of games that are amazingly good and really, really sort of high quality, and they just slowly get played out over those few months. But they will come out in November, whereas this time we're actually going to have to stage it. And we'll be getting titles right through, which may actually mean that we don't actually get a lull point, which would be cool.
It would be awesome.
Yeah.
And just to let everyone know, just for the heck of it, I may have Borderlands at home, and I may not be on platforms on Monday because I'll be
at home. No, he will be, but playing Borderlands. He will.
He may be on platforms playing Borderlands.
That is entire. I may Skype.
We may have to do that just to get him on the show.
Yeah, yes, so I think that might happen. Yeah.
Any more in games?
I don't know. Dave, do you have anything else?
Should I jump into the review? Do we have anything else to add?
No, I think we're good.
Look, for more details and for really detailed gaming news in particular.
We still have reviews. We haven't finished.
I asked you if there was more and you guys were saying
stuff. See, reviews, you don't want to say those for platforms?
You know, all I can say is that Organization Boys is a wonderful thing.
I will be reviewing the latest SmackDown versus Raw.
Can you give us a micro review now to wet people's appetites?
Absolutely. The big change in the latest version of Smackers, for anyone who knows, this is one of the biggest sports, I use that term loosely, franchises in the world as far. Well, it's funny, in the States, the biggest sports games would be Madden and anything WWE. They just sell like hotcakes. Here, obviously, it's a little bit differently. We, you know, cricket and league. But the games themselves are very, very good games. They're well made. And the developer, Yuke's, they also did the UFC Undisputed.
Mm.
And what's happened is by them working on that game, it actually changed the mechanics a little bit for the way that they've worked the WWE. On top of that, they're trying to do like what they did for Little Big Planet with a lot of user-generated content. So now you can create your own wrestler, you can create a backstory, you can create his entrance, you can create, or her entrance, you can create what camera angle you want to use, what fireworks you want to, the detail is ridiculous.
Right.
And the whole thing is, I think they're trying to bring with this version the entertainment, you know, the X factor that you have, you know, the whole dramedy, all of the soap opera shit that they have along with that. That's what they're trying to bring into the fold. And it actually works surprisingly well.
Yeah, I was really surprised as well. Like, I mean, I'm the first one to admit I actually really hate, hate's too strong a word. I'm not really into the sort of, as you said, dramedy of the sort of WWE industry. But seeing them user create an intro for when they were showing it off at the show for us was really interesting, just watching, you know, all these famous characters play out something to a storyline they created and did the voices for.
Right.
So, I have to admit, I'm with Dave on that one. It was it's incredible just to see the level of control they're giving people. Yep. It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
To be honest, the problem with it, and let me just make it clear, it's not a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. You know, if you wanted to throw a number on it, you know, eight seems to be a fairly constant thing for all of the SmackDown games. But it's a little bit simplistic as far as the way that it plays, which I think is, it's a double-edged sword. They're trying to make it approachable for more, you know, for the casual gamer, so that they can get in, muck around, make their own character, and then take it out on the road. But I'd like to see, I guess, in the next version, something a little bit more geared towards the UFC type of stuff. Because the UFC, the way that they did the control system for that was beautiful. All the face buttons corresponded to a limb. Mm. So you'd be, you know, throwing lefts and rights and just by hammering the buttons. And if they can mesh the two of them, you'd have a very impressive game. But I'm not gonna go too much more on it, as in I'm going to finish now. So that we can save the rest for the gaming gold, which is known as platforms.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. What we'll do is we'll hold off on the rest of, or any detail on that, because really the hard... Oh, that was a good can sound. The hardcore game... My headphones. All right. If you want to hear more about the games, you can tune into platforms on Monday night or find it on iTunes from Tuesday onwards. And we'll find out a lot more detail on that, and really, we'll find out what you really thought.
And I know,
I'm trying to clean up the potty mouth for a couple of podcasts. You know,
please don't.
No, it's more fun when you do. The truth of the matter is, just a quick plug. We are up on iTunes, as Dave said. Please either jump in, subscribe, but more importantly, we also need reviews. We need 5 reviews before we actually go have any chance of getting into the featured pages.
That's
so
right.
We need your help. We need you.
So that means the 7 guests that we have in the chat room, you need to sign in so we can talk to you and say hi, and then spend 30 seconds on iTunes saying how awesome I am and how crap the other two guys are. And as long as you give us 5 stars, it's all good. And Geek actually will send you a check for $20.
Don't make those sort of promises.
Checks will not be honored, but
still. Yeah, there'll be those great big ones that they have at the door.
It might cost us $20 to send that check.
We have a whole booklet of them out the back.
Absolutely.
Novelty checks.
All right.
Cannot be redeemed for real cash.
Yes, and look, in all seriousness, though, what Josh is saying is true. Make sure you do put your reviews onto iTunes. We've got to get it up to get it onto the featured list. Make sure people are listening to it. Also, please don't forget to write reviews for us as well, because Geek Actually is still trying to work up. We actually made it to page 3.
Again.
On the film and TV features for about 30 seconds.
I believe Josh was topless, as is traditional with any page 3.
By the way, I'd like to point out a good round of geek t-shirts this week.
Yeah, no, we've got geeked out.
We've got Josh with Batman. We've got with, now, chat room.
Sinestro.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nobody was going to get it.
All right, Sinestro, and of course, we've got the universal power symbol. So,
we are geeked out, man.
We're geeked out in geek attire this week. All right, let's move on. We've got, funnily enough, we didn't have it last week, but this week we do have a little bit of great internet tech war of 2009 news. Okay, from the front, we have a little bit of a report. This is kind of, once again, like everything this week, it's a little bit of a non-story, but it was just Apple just poking. And I just love the fact that Apple just likes to poke.
It's such a nasty thing to do.
According to CNET News, Apple has come out and basically made an announcement that they actually see Windows 7 as an opportunity to sell more Macs.
And Dave, please explain
this
to us.
They're not actually saying that Windows 7 is bad. They're actually saying that they are looking forward to the launch of Windows 7 because of how complicated it's going to be for the Windows XP users to move to Windows 7. They will probably just say, fuck it, let's get a Mac.
So this is why you have to love Microsoft. It's such wonderful. Let's make a new operating system that is completely incompatible with the last operating system that we did. That's just genius.
Now, to be fair, it's actually completely compatible with the last operating system they did. The problem is that nobody's using the last operating system.
That would be that Vista thing.
That would be that Vista thing. Now,
yes, I remember Vista.
Sorry, Josh.
As a Windows fan, I just want to say all those people that are going to try and do the install fail and buy a Mac, fuck you guys. Go to Mac. We don't need you. Learn how to use a computer.
We do. Professional computer users use.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Professional users use a Mac.
There you go. There's an Apple ad for you. And if we did get the studio camera working here, you would actually see the little Apple logos all over the place.
I'm going to actually wrap Josh in some plastic, and I'm going to start imitating Justin Long. Hey, buddy, what's going on? That's PC. Not quite as good.
All right, let's just explain this a little bit for those who.
I love Data Mike. Apple being a douche, that's hard to believe.
All right, let's just explain this a little bit because people are saying, oh, but Windows 7, you should just be able to update. Now, the issue is actually this. If you are a Vista user, you can buy Windows 7, the upgrade path, you can upgrade it and you'll be on Windows 7. Everything's fine. Yeah. However, a lot of people never upgraded. They stayed on XP, including their most valuable market, which is the business market. And the business users avoided Vista because of all the problems it had. And so Microsoft is pushing really, really, really hard this time to get those XP users to move to Windows 7. Which would be a good thing for them. If they're going to stay in the Windows world, Windows 7 is an awesome operating system. In fact, Walt Mossberg of the Wall Street Journal has basically claimed that Windows 7 is the best Windows ever released. And he's very true. It's very right. It is a wonderful operating system if you are in the Windows world.
But that's like saying, you know, that the latest handicapped person is the best one released. I mean, you know, it's oh, I'm sorry,
wrong
I,
in every sense.
I'm not a fan in any way, shape, or form. I went from Mac to Vista, and seriously...
That's why you're not a fan.
I took an ice pick, and I smashed it in my groin 40 times, and it was less painful than using Vista.
Okay, well, we're actually running Windows 7 in the studio here, and I got to say that I love 7. I've got no complaints about 7. Mm. And like all good Mac users, because I'm actually a 50-50 person. We have two Macs and two P's sitting in here in front of me right now. So I have both. I live in both worlds. I prefer the Mac world. That's just personal preference. But if I'm going to use Windows, I would like to use Windows 7. Windows 7 has added some beautiful new features. It works really well. But the big issue is there is no upgrade path from XP. Yeah. If you want to go from an XP machine to Windows 7, you have to format, reinstall, and install everything from scratch.
Yeah.
And this is why Apple is basically saying, for the average user, this is too much work. And, you know, but the question is, it's a flawed argument, because if they're going to go to Mac, they're going to have to transfer and reinstall all their stuff to Mac anyway.
This is true.
So it's kind of a flawed argument, but I can see their point. They're basically saying, get away from the headaches. Come over to our side. We've got cookies.
The only thing Windows are good for is to throw your PC out.
All right, so that's our coverage of the war. It's not much of a news story, but it is just that little bit of Apple kind of firing in there. I'm hoping we're going to see some big things going on. There's big news. The battlefield seems to be shifting, and I don't have the articles in front of me. We will probably do this next week. But the battle seems to be shifting to e-readers, of all things. We announced last week that the Kindle is coming out internationally.
Yeah.
Well, Barnes & Noble in the States has basically now announced their e-book reader and an e-book reader format for and an e-book shop, so they're going to compete with it. And now Google, you know how they've had the Google book thing going on for so long.
You're looking at me like I know what you're talking
about.
Well,
I'm hoping you do.
Absolutely, I do.
Yeah, well, exactly. Google's been scanning books for the last few years, and they're basically trying to create this enormous virtual library. Well, there's now talk that there might be a Google reader along on the horizon.
Oh,
so it's
Lord.
Like all the, and of course Sony has a book reader, so they've got their book reader. There is talk about the Apple tablet still, so that could be another reader. So I think we're seeing the fundamental shift. We saw it go from the desktops to the netbooks, and now it seems to be going even smaller than that. Let's go to the readers. You know, it's like, what's next?
We'll see.
The keychain wars of 2010. Right?
call me old school, man, but I don't think you can ever get past tactile contact of holding an actual book.
Oh, look, I love books, but you know there are times where you sit there and just go, it's just too much hassle to carry the book and bookmark and blah, blah.
It's
and,
so much easier to carry a laptop.
No, but yeah. These ebook readers are phenomenal. If you've actually seen the Kindle or the images of the Kindle in use, it is really thin. It's handheld. This new e-ink that they're using, which is non-backlit, so it's no eye strain. I like the Barnes & Noble one. Actually comes with a little itty-bitty book light on top of it so that you can actually look at it. I mean, these are, you know, it's a really phenomenal concept. The only problem, of course, is that they're only in black and white at this point, but there has been rumor that Barnes & Noble is going to release a color version of their ebook reader. So it's we had Steve Ballmer come out last week and basically say that Windows users already have the best ebook reader on the market. It's called Windows. Well, no, you're right. Nobody wants to carry this piece of shit around with you to try and read a book, you know? Yeah. But if you've got it in the palm of your hand, and let's face it, the Kindle page is about the size of a paperback page, you know? And if you're reading technical manuals, they have a DX version, which is a 10-inch screen.
That's all right.
It's PDF compatible, so you can load your PDFs in there and see them. You know, just go, there is something about this, and of course it saves the trees. So, also we're seeing in the States, periodicals just dying right, left, and center and all going online, right? PC World magazine was one of the latest victims where they basically closed down their printed version and went completely digital.
Well, everyone's starting to do that. I mean, you know, from sort of being around that side of the industry, it's a lot easier for people to just jump online.
Well,
because
and it's
you can,
and more immediate, too.
Exactly. I mean, if you have a news story, you can break it within half an hour of
absolutely.
It actually being announced. And I mean, and you see that in any... I mean, I can only speak from a gaming point of view, but, you know, any gaming website...
RSS feeds and stuff like that have just made finding news and
easy.
Getting news quick just so much easier and so much more effective.
Now, think about this. There was a statistic put out a few weeks ago, and I think we may have mentioned it on the show, but so I may be repeating myself, but New York Times did a quick bit of calculation. And then before anybody jumps out there and goes, ooh, yeah, they're not doing this. It was just to highlight a point, right? New York Times basically sat down and did the calculations on how much it costs to actually produce the newspaper, distribute it, diesel, fuel, trucks, distribution arms, the whole bit. Exactly. Everything. Everything to do with making a newspaper. And they actually worked out that it would actually cost less to give all of their current subscribers a Kindle and a year subscription. So it would actually cost them less to do that than it does at the moment to produce the physical newspaper. So, of course, it's all done.
Well, I think they should put up or shut up. And
I think they should give us all a Kindle.
I'll take my reader. Just send it to Dave.
Just make
Dave
sure
care
everybody gives me a week's notice so I can do a subscription before they do that.
Now, the Kindle is going international, and we would really, 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 really love to play with one. If somebody wants to donate a Kindle to Geek Actually, our mailing address is on the Support Us link. And if there's anybody out there working for the companies who have these, we would love to get a demo unit to have a look at this.
And by art, he means three.
Yeah, three would be good. One would be okay. Three would be better. All right, let's move into tech news. All right, we're going to head off the news by saying Pepsi got into tech news, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah.
Pepsi's a soft drink, and you know they made an iPhone app. Now, Dave, I think, will appreciate this iPhone app. And you know
I'm
what?
I'm just showing my love for Pepsi.
I'm going to say, well, you may have changed your mind now. They actually released an iPhone app that is free to any iPhone user and basically is an app to help you pick up girls. It's actually called, what's the app called again? It's called Amp Up Before You Score. And basically, it has all the different classes of girl on it. So, you know, your goth girl, your, you know, international student. It gives you pickup lines to use. It's got live feeds, so you can actually, if you're picking up, say, an aspiring actress, you can actually get what the cinema times and stuff like that on it. So it basically helps you. And then once you've scored, if you do score, you can publish your results onto the website.
Nice. And you get a free can of Pepsi.
Now, what is funny about this is the fact that it got hammered by basically everybody saying the most sexist thing ever released and blah, blah, blah. And Pepsi has come out and publicly apologized for this app, saying we are really, really sorry. They didn't remove the app from the store, though.
You don't need that application. It's a much simpler application.
Josh and I were playing with the app last night.
Yeah, no, sorry, Dave, you were saying.
All I was going to say is, you know, save your application thing, and just the only line you need is, I have a $100 bill wrapped around my penis. That usually works. No?
I'm staggered. And see, this is the people that they're complaining about.
Well, the thing that I find incredibly...
I don't use those cheesy lines, so
the thing that I find incredible about it was, while looking through that application, it's like everyone's so upset, but these typecasts that they've put and the lines that they give you to use are ridiculous. No one can honestly take this seriously.
The thing is a joke. Get over it. You know?
It's like you look at the lines that they give you, and no realistic human being would either take them in or actually believe that you were trying to pick them up using this line. They would honestly think you were retarded.
So for a goth girl, it's just like, my name's Caleb and I cut myself.
Something
like that.
Exactly
that
like that. Like, what was the one we were looking
at? We're going to fire it up. I've got the iPhone here. We're going to fire this app up. It'll take a second to boot up. So.
All right. Well, what kind of girl do we want?
Basically, it says here that
easy. Hot and easy.
According to the news.com.au article, it says, let's say...
A geek girl.
That geek girl is there. Nerd girl.
Go to Nerd Girl and find out what we should be doing. This is for everyone. So we are helping you pick up.
So first of all, go to the library or your local internet lounge.
No. We're going to go.
I'm looking at the app now. Okay, we've got a graphic of this. So let me just bring this up so people can see what we're talking about. This is what the app looks like. Okay, and we want what do we want here? Aspiring actress, artist. Where's the Nerd Girl? Hold on.
I don't know. You kind of had me at aspiring actress.
You want aspiring actress?
Casting.
Actually, one of my favorite was what was the foreign exchange student had some of the worst lines. I tell you,
I just like on the grab that the guys.
What
the
big objection to
fingers on the boobies?
Okay, one of the big objections to this app, of course, has been the fact that it's stereotyping women into these categories. Now, the categories are aspiring actress, artist, athlete, bookworm, businesswoman, celebrity, cougar, dancer, goth, foreign exchange student, indie girl, married. You know what? These categories do exist. You know, okay, yes, it's a sexist app. We all know that. But you know what? It's just a joke, guys. Have a bit of fun with it, you know?
Do they have the celebutard? I think that's just for the Hiltons.
All right, what do we got here? We got women's studies major. Twins.
Wow.
We got twins.
We need to rock that one.
All right, let's rock twins. All right, let's rock twins.
Because that always happens.
Because, and you know what's even better? I can just imagine how awesome and obviously realistic the lines are going to be. Dave, hit us with a line that we should use.
Okay, so
twins.
According to the Amp It Up Before You Score, a line that you should use when you're picking up twins is, I'm seeing double, double beautiful. All right, or wow. You, or you could use, "Don't worry, ladies, there's enough of me to go around."
Oh my God, you know, it's like something out of a bad teen movie.
It's something that Neil Patrick Harris would say in How I Met Your Mother.
But only Neil Patrick Harris could make it work.
And by make it work, unfortunately, Neil, well, unfortunately, but as far as the women go, Neil is gay. So
I know, he's
gay. How far could it actually work? Hey, come back to my room and we'll
now, I'd like to point out that...
Pinot, perhaps,
we'll talk and discuss
the latest Zac Efron film.
So the sort of things that this program allows you to do is it gives you pickup lines. It also gives you it gives you stretching exercises. So I guess you
need is that for the ladies or for the
no, it's for you so that you're ready for twins. And then it's got a little information: 10 things you've always wondered about twins. These are so do twins have the same fingerprints? I love it. They give us the questions, but they don't give us the answers.
All right, so these are questions. Those are actually quite good.
Those are ones that you can ask.
These are things you can ask.
Are you identical twins? Why don't you get naked?
How can you tell if they are conjoined? Well, they'd be stuck together to start with.
anyway, moving along.
Anyway, moving along. So I think Pepsi has said they're sorry. I think the fact that they haven't taken the app down is big of them.
I think they should be sorry for the application, not the content itself. But just sorry for making the application.
All right, so now the next one we got up here is actually another Steve Jobs story, because, you know, Steve tends to make the news a lot with us. But here's Steve Jobs on screen now. Steve Jobs has actually turned out to be a big hit with teens. Who knew? You would have thought they would have gone, "Oh man, he's the old dude," you know. But no, apparently he's big with teens. There was a study done, there was a survey done that was actually querying teens on who they really admired as tech entrepreneurs, and or as entrepreneurs, mostly tech. But they've got a couple here I don't understand why they're considered tech. But Steve Jobs came out on top. He's bigger than Oprah. Apparently, he's bigger than, and the one that really caught our eye was, he's bigger than Mark Zuckerberg, who's the CEO and creator of Facebook. Now, I would have thought, because he's young, he's nerdy, he's hip, I would have thought that Zuckerberg would have been top of their list. But no, Steve Jobs. It just shows you that it's that public awareness factor.
Yeah.
I think it's just because every teen wants an iPhone. It's
there's that too. And they all carry an iPod. So, you know, I guess they all know their stuff. Anyway, that's a non-story. And moving right along. Now, Dave. Windows 7. Windows 7 is back here again.
You're going to love this one, Dave. Now, this is right up.
I know we are actually stretching a little bit for bandwidth here this morning. So once we start this video, you may actually want to stand up and come around and have a look at this if you haven't seen it. Okay, Josh has seen it, so he's all right.
Yeah, now, no, I don't want to see it again.
We're going to be playing a video here. Now, a lot of people already know about this, and we're just going to help fill in the people who don't know. But Microsoft has actually, and we have a story leading off of this as well. Microsoft is holding house parties. Now, part of the marketing of Windows 7 was to basically say, host your own launch party. And they sent you a launch party kit. And it's got a copy of Windows in it and streamers and balloons and, you know, Windows 7 tablecloths. And you're supposed to get a group of people together and install Windows 7. How this is actually an entertainment, I'm not sure. But it gets better.
Don't despair yet.
The company that actually runs house parties for all sorts of things, you know, Tupperware parties and all this sort of stuff. And they actually released an infomercial to help you run your house party. So, and this has actually been going on for the last few weeks. So this is not news, but what's coming up is. But I thought, just for the sake of our audiences, because we've never really talked about it.
What's coming up is my breakfast.
Because we've never really talked about it. We're going to play a little bit of the Microsoft house party. So here's a little bit of the informational video that comes from Microsoft.
Hey, welcome to the party. The four of us, along with Host Worldwide and you, are launching Windows 7 Ultimate Software. So, you know what? Let's take a minute or so to tell you about how great it is to host a launch party. You can use House Party tools to build your guest list, upload your pictures, which is his favorite, right? And you can even get a party pack. Though you're in your own home, you'll be able to participate with others in this exciting event around the world.
In a lot of ways, you're just throwing a party with Windows 7 as an honored guest. Sounds easy, and it is. But we thought you'd probably like to know what to do to get ready and how some hosts want their party to flow.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, now, the four of us got to have our parties a little ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, try everything out. So we thought we'd be able to tell you some of the tips.
Isn't that just joyous? I think this is a fabulous video. Install Windows now, software. Before...
make sure you do that a couple days.
It's painful. It's just so painful. Okay.
Now, the reason why...
listening to it.
The reason why I played a little bit of that is because somebody's done a mashup of this on online. And once again, this is not actually new. It's a couple weeks old, but we haven't done it on the show. So I thought it's a slow news week and this is worth it. Somebody's taken a mashup and they've just basically censored out random words in this particular thing. And it makes it mean a whole new different thing. So have a listen to this and see what you see what you think of this mashup.
Welcome to the party. So, you know what? Let's take a minute or so to tell you about how great it is to...
Well, now, the four of us got to have our parties a little ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, try everything out. So we thought we'd be able to tell you some of the tips that help make our parties really fun.
Yeah. Now, of course, the first thing you want to do is... Yeah, make sure you do that a couple days in advance of the party. Got to play
it's solid advice.
Party. Second, look at the activities you and your guests can try at your party and choose the ones that seem to you to be the most fun.
There's a video of each activity from one of our parties, and we have tried them all, right?
You just look at them all and decide which one seems to be the most fun for your guests.
Right.
And some of the host notes, they list bonus.
Right.
But you may want to... them, but you have to make sure that you have the right devices on hand.
Right. Now, after my overview, I went straight to...
Oh, you went straight to... Oh, I let everybody fool around with... And then we started an activity maybe 30 minutes later.
In any event, we each did an...
I did three. I love that.
And you'll need the right devices. I think that's just gold.
You see, I think it definitely makes the video much more watchable.
Yes.
See, before you posted that, I was thinking that this new Microsoft party will replace the popularity of the Manson party pack that you could get. But now with that wonderful abridged version, that's the kind of party I want to run, but not with the old lady.
That's the sort of party where you put the keys in the jar before you start. All right. Now, the reason why this is news this week, though, is, okay, that's all a couple weeks old, and the house party has been kicking around for a while, and apparently they're all starting in, like, a week or whatever it is, the launch. eBay has basically been issuing takedown notices all over the place because people have been putting their party packs up for sale on eBay. So they've got a free autographed copy of Windows 7 in there by Steve Ballmer, and they're basically putting it. No, Microsoft has issued instructions for eBay, take these things down, because they clearly are marked on the outside of the box, not for resale.
Like that's ever stopped anyone on eBay, ever.
Well, apparently several of them have been taken down, but there are still a couple online. So if you can get one and win one quickly, jump in there because you might want them. Now, that's all Microsoft 7. That's all the Windows we've got for us today. But I have the last tech news that, quite frankly, is my favorite story, tech or otherwise, of the week. This to me is absolutely gold. I'm going to bring up a picture on screen here for our video watchers. This is the Large Hadron Collider. Now, I'm going to just give a brief introduction. I'm probably going to massacre the physics because I'm not a physicist. But basically, the Large Hadron Collider, and if you actually watch the new Dan Brown movie, Angels and Demons, it features heavily in that film because they're trying to create antimatter. The Large Hadron... No, wait. You're going to love this, Dave. Stay with me. The article's coming up. Just a brief piece of history, though. The Large Hadron Collider is a device that they've built. They're hoping to be able to create what is called a Higgs boson, which is actually the God particle. The whole idea of this is to create... a Higgs boson is a particle that's kind of like the stem cell for people. It's the particle that can become anything, and it can actually create matter out of no matter. So the idea is if they can actually generate this, they can probably answer the one question that burns everybody, which is what started it all, right? So the problem is, though, that there's a lot of people who believe that the Large Hadron Collider may actually cause a black hole and the world might get sucked into it, and many other things. Now, the Large Hadron Collider actually went live a while ago, and it had a bit of an explosion of sparks and the whole thing died and it never worked. And so they've been rebuilding it. Well, this is where this article comes in. So the New York Times has actually published this essay. It is actually written by two theoretical physicists who basically look at the world in the way that we can't look at the world. And their names are Holger Beck-Nielsen and Masao Ninomiya. And they've written an article that basically is proposing the theory that to create the particle is so abhorrent to nature, because we're not supposed to be messing with this kind of thing, that it is possible that a future version of the particle has actually come back in time and destroyed the Large Hadron Collider so that it wouldn't happen.
That's right, man. We're through the looking glass.
We are
now,
through the people. Looking glass on this one, dudes. We are talking about a future where particles apparently are sentient and can think for themselves.
Who's sent by Cyberdyne Systems.
Who are sent by Cyber. So basically, it works in the same principle that it is so abhorrent to nature that it could cause a ripple and ripple backwards through time, just like a time traveler who would go back in time to kill his own grandfather. To stop it from happening. So this is basically their concept. These are physicists, man. What have they been smoking? And where can I get some?
That's all they do all day, man. They sit there and go, you know what would be awesome?
I can just see how the theorizing of that went. It was like, you know what, man?
It's like future particles,
this,
man.
This collider shit's never going to work. Let's just say that, I don't know, some particles came back.
All right, so here's the issue. Here's the issue. If, when it goes live, I think it's November or December, it's going live again. If it goes live and dies, you know these two physicists are going to go, told you so.
Isn't that the get-out-of-jail-free card? It's just like, oh, we fucked it up. Oh, well, you know, future particles coming back in time, destroy everything.
The future particles got more sentient, realized that it was a good idea, and then decided
and
to
let it go.
Their mind.
That's right. I mean, in fact, they've just answered some sort of big question that the future particles wanted to know.
Either that, or it won't matter, because a giant black hole will thing suck us all in, and it won't matter. And
right. I'm going to bring up the picture one more time on screen. I just want you to tell me, does this not look like some sort of weapon out of the Death Star?
Damn right. It looks like the fucking, like, I mean, do people not look at that thing and just go, this thing is definitely going to destroy the world? But you know what? I say it's going to destroy everything, but we'll still be alive in some small amount. And, you know, like, this will be some sort of post-apocalyptic world. And I am totally down for that. No, bring on the post-apocalyptic.
Book of Eli. They had it right.
Fucking damn right. But you see, we'll watch that movie and we'll be like, it's like reality.
See, you looked at that as the end of the world. I looked at that as mankind's savior, because it looked to me like that thing that they had in Contact. And I was thinking, my God, you're going to get rid of Jodie Foster? This thing is worth it. Totally worth it.
Let's just make sure that she's there for Contact. That's all.
Oh my God, I have to go away.
Okay.
I'm skinny and annoying, and I've got a pursed face. Look, like a cat's bum.
Yeah, like, anyway, honestly, like, seriously, out of anyone, they would have taken Jodie Foster.
I don't buy it.
That's the only thing I didn't buy about that movie.
I don't mind them taking her, but giving her back?
No.
Just take her.
I think that's probably the problem. They got her, and they got her on the ship, and they're like, ah! God.
It was like panic.
Eject.
Room, you know? No, what they did was, it was actually a prequel to Independence Day, because she got up there and they said, this is the best you can do? Destroy the fuckers.
They didn't realize that she was our greatest weapon. We've weaponized Jodie Foster and we're sending her out to bore people with horrible acting.
And with Jodie Foster on our minds, let's move into... Josh is dying in the corner. Let's move into entertainment news. Okay, guys, I have no Green Hornet news again, but I do have Green Lantern news, so it's still
so
green.
It's still got green.
It's still green. Now, I don't actually have a graphic for green. This is, then
we've got Dave Shirt.
We've got Dave Search, Sinestro. Now, this is actually last minute. We got told this literally 5 minutes before we started the show, so we're a bit rough on the edges. It was in, for those who are Australian listeners, it was in the Saturday Sydney Morning Herald. Green Lantern is officially not coming to Australia. They were going to be shooting Green Lantern in the Fox Studios at Sydney. We speculated a few weeks ago, Josh and I on this show, when the articles were starting to come out saying they weren't happy about the exchange rate, they weren't getting a tax break that they wanted, and now that the exchange rate is now almost up to 90-something cents, it's not worth them traveling halfway around the world to come here. According to the article, they still haven't picked a location, but there is a good chance that Louisiana might get it, which is actually apparently Green Hornet's hometown anyway, Green Lantern's hometown anyway. So they may be going... It may be taking it home. So
another hit to the local industry. What a massive surprise now, that they didn't bend over and help out.
Absolutely. But here's the... Now we get to do that favorite part of my show where we get to speculate and make up lots of gossip and rumor. Warner Brothers apparently has not let go of the studios. So they've still booked all of the Warner Brothers studio here, or the Fox studio here. They've still got them rented and they're not releasing them.
But
what are they bringing here?
Forget that. How awesome would it be with Green Lantern with Australian accents? Hal Jordan, mate. What's going on? Mate, you can't park your plane there, mate. What's going on?
Oh, and we get Dave Hughes to play him, right?
Oh, that would be sensational. Dave Hughes is is the Green Lantern. You I mean, you had in the animated one, was it Chris Maloney, Stabler from SVU, who was just genius. And then we'll get Dave Hughes instead.
Dave Hughes, yeah. Beautiful. Brilliant stuff. All right, so that was our last minute breaking news. We don't know what's coming to Fox Studios. For some reason, Warner Brothers is holding on to that studio space. They have said...
We will keep you informed.
In an article I read, they actually said that they still want to shoot something down here. What they'll do is bring something lower budget that doesn't cost them as much and blah, 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 and then they can bring that down here. Who knows?
I thought you would have said Green Hornet? They'll shoot it down.
No, they're not making Green Hornet anymore. Look, I haven't heard any news on Green Hornet in 3 weeks. Therefore, they're not shooting it. They've all gone home.
It's post-production. You missed it already. They finished filming Principal Photography.
No, look, Seth Rogen got stoned in a corner. They said, we can't make this movie anymore, and they've all gone home. So, it's not happening.
I'm still staying positive.
Yeah, you stay positive.
Anyway, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. We don't know what's going in the Fox. We'll wait and see at this point. But we're you know, we hear any news. This is not the first time Warner Bros. Has booked these studios. Let me remind you that when Joss Whedon was going to make Wonder Woman, they booked the studios. They sat there for a few months. Nothing ever came. Then they booked the studios again for some other project they were working on. Then they dropped it out again. And so Warner Bros. Keeps booking these studios and never using them. And all I can say is they got their own fucking studios in Queensland. Why are they going up there?
Have you been to Queensland?
Yeah, I have, actually. It's a good theme park. I don't know what it's like as a studio.
Well, Queensland in general is a good theme park?
Pretty much. They're actually shooting... What are they shooting in Queensland at the moment? They're actually shooting... Well, they're shooting Pacific, but they're shooting a feature film in Queensland at the moment. We talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago. My mind has gone blank.
Pacific or The Pacific?
The Pacific, the miniseries. That's finished now. I think they've gone home already. Ooh. They were shooting that for like a year up there.
Well, I'm up on the news.
I can tell by your expression on the Large Hadron Collider. It's only the end of the world, Dave.
Yeah. Look. As I've stated before, I'm Jewish, so it doesn't really matter with the end of the world. I'm guaranteed a spot.
Maybe the Large Hadron Collider starting is what causes the end of the world in 2012.
That would be awesome.
Maybe the Mayans were right. They knew we were going to build it because they time traveled first to the future to find out.
No, what happened is those particles went back
exactly.
in time.
You're instantly discounted because the particles would have come through. And
oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah. No, they came through and they went back.
Or maybe
and built
the Mayans are the particles.
Oh, there we go. Now we're talking.
Mind
all right.
freak. Did we actually... call you Chris Angel from now on, man?
Hang on. We're supposed to be in film news here. Let's stay on target on film news for now.
Hey, you're the one who took us back,
what, man.
Why took us back? Back just like the particles. We're back.
All right, so I think time travel is a bad subject for us to cover in this show.
I think we should do an after show about time travel one day.
Totally.
Can't we do a before show?
Oh, there you go. All right, in the news, Bryan Singer. I'm a Bryan Singer fan. I think he's done some really good work. Usual Suspects, X-Men 2, you know, I'm down with Bryan Singer.
He wants to go back in time and make sure that he made X-Men 3.
He actually wants to go back to the X-Men franchise, and all I can say to that is, duh. Let's see, since he left the X-Men franchise, what's he made? Superman Returns and Valkyrie. Now, these haven't been stellar performers, either of them, or particularly critically well-received, so... He left a lucrative franchise to go do these other two films. And now, of course, he goes, I think I want to come back. It's like, yeah, of course you do.
I just don't get, how do you make a superhero film where the superhero does nothing? Don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed Superman Returns, but it was kind of like, yeah, we get it. He's Jesus. We get your point. And he's the most powerful being on the planet. Could he fucking hit something and stop being such a pussy?
Look, the best sequence in that entire film, as far as I'm concerned, is the saving of the plane at the beginning, and then you can pretty much turn it off after that. Although Superman Returns does beg to be questioned, because there was, once again, these theoretical physicists, you got to love theoretical. Back in the 80s, there was a documentary on UK television where they actually talked about Superman as a reality, if you could actually make him a reality, and they said the problem is he could never have sexual relations with a female human because his sperm at ejaculation would come out so high it would put holes in concrete.
Didn't I hear something like that in Mallrats? I believe.
Yeah, pretty
the
much.
Only way he could bang regular chicks.
And if you
is
watch,
with a kryptonite
and if you watch the director's cut of Hancock, they kind of address that as well when he puts the holes through the ceiling of his camper van, which isn't not in the theatrical version. But so how the hell? Spoilers for Superman Returns. How the hell did he impregnate Lois?
From a distance. Oh yeah. I
just got a visual of Superman like 4 kilometers away. I was like, all right, baby, you ready to rock?
Let me show you my large hadron.
Is she just jumps up and does like one of those soccer Maradona what's kicks. You know, she just does a little kick and catches it.
Anyway, so getting back on topic, Bryan Singer wants to re-enter the X-Men franchise. Duh. Okay, we have a little.
Sorry, Dom. I'm sorry.
Josh is dying in the corner again. All right, we have a little bit of Warcraft news. Now, apparently the screenwriter Robert Rodat, who you may know from Saving, he wrote the screenplay to Saving Private Ryan, has been signed to write the Warcraft movie, which they are now saying is a World of Warcraft movie, so they are finally admitting it, although the movie will just be called Warcraft. I do have a graphic for this, and I'm not bringing it up. There we go. Look, isn't that pretty? All right, so Robert Rodat is going to write the screenplay. Now, we actually have a couple things. Sam Raimi has actually said, we want to be really faithful to the game. We have our writer, Robert Rodat, really craft an original story within the world that feels like a World of Warcraft adventure, but obviously it's very different because it's expanded and translated into the world of a motion picture. Now, he actually does go on to say that they have to be very respectful, otherwise they would alienate an entire fan base, which, as we all know, for World of Warcraft is fucking enormous. Mm. All right, so it looks like they've got the right writer on board. They got now, the right director.
Now they just need Bruce Campbell.
They just need Bruce Campbell and we're
Bruce Campbell needs to show up as Ash at some stage and just kill a random bunch of people with a chainsaw.
I think he should appear in this next film, because this next film may suit it even more. According to this, Fox wants to...
yes.
And I'm going to bring up the graphic first because I think it's quality. Here we go. Fox wants to retell the story of Moses, all right?
Oh.
But...
I like it.
But, of course, in this day and age, they want to do it 300 style.
Oh, yeah.
This is Judaism!
Awesome. According to this, it says that they want to do it in the style of Zack Snyder's 300. And according to Slash Filmcast, I love their running commentary on it. They say, yep, Moses will soon be using the stone tablets bearing God's laws to knock heads in a theater near you.
Fuck yes.
The bear Jew, guy's a pussy compared to this Moses.
I can just see it now. It'll be there. It'll be Moses in a loincloth. That'll be it. He'll have like the massive six-pack. He'll have a rocket launcher instead of his staff.
Yeah, you know what I want to see more than anything is him to grab those two fucking tablets and just smash someone's head with them.
I want to see when he parts the Red Sea. I just want to see him like punch the ground, not, you know, like pray to God or anything. Just like,
and the shockwave parts the sea. Yeah, absolutely.
And then maybe one scene where, you know, Pharaoh, as he's like saying, let my people go, you know, he just like holds her and does the big
I'll let you go, kick. Bitch.
Yeah, it's like,
no. Just let him like hold him, say the line and chuck him out a window. It's exactly and it has
in
to have glass.
In ramp slow-mo.
Yeah, and like it has to have glass. I don't even think they had glass back then, but you know, it has to be glass.
All right, according to this, if we go back to the article, once again, this is Slash Filmcast commentary, which I love. It actually says, and with defiance of the Pharaoh, you should actually be thinking plagues. Massive, gruesome, deadly plagues. And they also go on to say that despite the fact that Moses was said to have lived to 120, why do I expect the majority of the film will focus around a younger, ruggedly attractive version of the character? Because doddering old guys just don't look good, speed ramped, and covered with blood.
I totally disagree, man. I want to see a Gandalf-looking motherfucker up there on stage. I want to see blood through his beard. I want to see him wielding. I don't know. This staff has to have a knife or a blade,
or just a switch knife fire.
It turns into a snake.
I was thinking about that, but I can't really see that being, you know, like
it turns into a snake in his hand, and he waves that snake at people, just biting them. You know,
I don't know. My
no, but like is... I mean, seriously, I want you to think of that Family Guy style for a moment, where it's like it turns into this giant snake and then just goes. Like, I mean, seriously, how cool can you make that?
What if it turns into a snake like in Buffy? Turns into, like, you know, a 700-foot principal type snake.
What if it turns into a snake like Cobra Commander and you get a nice G.I. Joe? Maybe
tie
G.I.
in, there you go. Oh.
G.I. Joe.
And then you've got a nice little crossover, you know? I mean, my personal pick for this is I think it's Matthew McConaughey all the way.
Yes.
What the Jewish people need are some washboard abs. That's kind of what I bring to the fold. And I'm just so likable, so, you know, I'll deliver you from slavery.
By the way, this is not the only Zack Snyder 300-inspired films. Fox is also doing Moby Dick in this style.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be awesome.
I just want to see him on the little tugboat kick the whale.
Like, And I want Picard. I want what's his name? Help me out.
He's Patrick already, Stewart. Patrick Stewart's already done.
I know, but I want him back, and I want him twice as awesome.
Covered in blood and speed ramped.
Exactly, with a fucking beard. Giant
with a beard
spear.
And a staff
is it me, or I'm sorry, but are there films that just don't quite suit this style? It's like saying,
no?
Let's do Oliver Twist, 300 style. Speedstar, can I have some fucking more?
That would be awesome. I'd love to see
again,
a little roided up kid, like 10-year-old.
What's that kid wheels in the news?
Yeah, I know, like,
kicking
buffed up, just like, more? Yeah, bitch, more.
And then he kicks him out a window. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. It doesn't matter. Any of these movies will win with a window kicking scene.
An artful dodger, you know? He tries to steal his money. Listen, bitch.
And you, yeah, taking the guy and smacking his head on the counter, breaking the counter like in 300. You know?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Speaking so basically, what we're trying to say in the end of this is any movie can work.
Any film can work in 300.
If we can have Pride and Prejudice with zombies, anything's possible.
And have you heard that Done Sense and Sensibility with sea monsters? Now we're just waiting for the movie versions. Dave's looking at me blankly. You haven't heard of these either.
When you said sea monsters, I was just thinking of sea men, and then I went into a very
you went into a
disgusting
trance.
Place.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, moving
sorry,
right
everyone.
Along.
Sorry.
I've got an article here about Dave's favorite people. These are the producers. I brought them up on screen. These are the producers of Platinum Dunes. Brad Fuller and Andrew Form. Now, I actually have to say, before I start this article, that I actually feel sorry for these guys. Because here are two guys, they're young, you look at them, they're young, hip producers. Yes, they're producing crap at the moment, but, you know, they're young, hip producers, and they never get the credit because everybody refers to it as Michael Bay's Platinum Dunes.
Mm.
They're the guys doing the work. Michael Bay's just kind of the shelf company.
You
know?
Make it sound like a bad thing. Name one bad thing Michael Bay's done in the last 15 years.
Transformers 2.
Name another thing.
The list is very long, Dave.
And
I know.
All right, so these two guys, basically, they've just signed a deal with Paramount. The Platinum Dunes has just signed a deal with Paramount. And why this actually came up, we thought as a conversation piece might be interesting, is the fact that they've actually said that they want to do more than just horror film remakes. They actually want
finally.
To...
Finally.
We're doing thrillers now as well.
They want to take Platinum Dunes...
They'll remake other famous movies.
Yeah, pretty much. It actually does say that, you know, a sequel to the Friday the 13th remake is not off the cards. But, you know, they're saying
what
that
a stretch.
They want to produce some slightly edgy, low-budget stuff that is just not remakes. So
they're going to remake The Pelican Brief?
I don't know, but according to this, it says that they want to make a film called The Butcher House Chronicles.
Yes, that sounds like a far stretch from horror.
Yeah.
So it's a family film.
A family film. It says, well, you know, listen, it says Butcher House Chronicles, written by Stephen Susko and described as not unlike... The Breakfast Club in a haunted house.
But we're not doing remakes anymore.
We're not doing remakes anymore.
Or horror. But let's do a horror film of The Breakfast Club.
And
next we're going to do Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
In a slaughterhouse.
With Freddy.
Yeah.
I don't know how he fits in Freddy's after him because he cuts cool.
Yeah.
And speaking of Michael Bay, I'd like to point out that Transformers 3... is on the cards, as we discussed 2 weeks ago. According to this article, it is now official that Roberto Orci and Alex Kurtzman, the writers of the original Transformers and then the co-writers of the second Transformers, have officially stepped away from Transformers. They are not going to write Transformers.
You have
3.
Chosen wisely.
Well, no, see, this is what scares me about this. At first thought, when we first read this last night, Josh and I went, probably a good thing. But who are they being replaced with? This is the question. They are being replaced by Aaron Kruger, who was the writer who was brought in as the third writer on Transformers 2.
You see, what I don't get is, okay, look, Transformers 1 was not, you know.
But I love Transformers 1.
Look, I really love the movie too. It was flawed. There were some ridiculous plot holes. But still, how do you get the same guys who made that movie and then wrote Star Trek, which was just brilliant, and then they fucking write Transformers
because
2.
A lot of the criticism on Transformers 2 has been leveled at Aaron Kruger, saying that he came in and rewrote a lot of their material, and he's the hack. Now, he is the sole writer on Transformers 3. That's what made this suddenly... Josh and I suddenly, our ears perked up, and we went, oh dear. You know?
We're going to have another black robot, and this black robot will turn into a giant ghetto blaster. And for some reason, he will be the poor demographic of...
I'm sorry, but there actually was an original Ghetto Blaster Transformer. Where is it? Where was it?
Which one's
Sam? No, it's coming back. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, the little guy in Air Force One in the first film. Remember, he turned into a little Ghetto Blaster. Just...
Rampage. No, that was I think, Frenzy, who Michael Bay declared he created...
Bullshit.
I was like, there was a Rumble, Rampage, Frenzy.
There was a Ghetto Blaster in the original cartoon.
Yeah.
All right, now on to the most unlikely sequel of all time. I'm going to bring up on screen here a graphic.
At some stage, but all right.
I'm going to bring up a graphic on screen, and Dave, you're going to tell me, you're going to identify the movie. Here we go.
It's Dave the Movie. Oh, wait, we've got a 15-second lag, sorry.
Yeah, it should be coming up any
second. Oh, Showgirls, of course.
Okay, Showgirls. That's Elizabeth Berkley, of course, in that masterpiece of cinema, Showgirls. Well, apparently...
Data Mike, it is indeed Citizen Kane.
Yep, Citizen Kane 2. Well,
okay. I think it's actually Citizen Candy Kane.
Whoa. German writer-director Mark Wallander has concocted Showgirls, The Story of Hope.
Well, is that for them trying to get financing? Is that what they're calling it?
You know the guy that does the voiceovers for early Disney trailers?
Yeah.
That's what I just see. I just see Showgirls 2, The Story of Hope.
Okay.
And then, a young innocent girl.
So
here today, brought to you by Disney, home of Pocahontas, Poker Hot Ass, and Showgirls.
Okay, it says here, the film... Showgirls, The Story of Hope, which focuses on a minor character from the original film.
See, I love the way it's a minor character.
See, Story of Hope. See how they did it? Hope. Her name was Hope.
They should have just called it Story of Hope.
Story of Hope. This is crap. It's a stripper movie from the Obama. It's a stripper movie for the Obama era, apparently.
It's a black stripper?
It says the plot line reads as such. It's about a stripper who died from a dose of contaminated cocaine. Her brother comes to Frankfurt to find those responsible and revenge.
So wait, it's like an early 80s action movie mixed with sort of Showgirls. Man, this will sell awesomely.
I got to ask one question, though. Showgirls was set in Vegas. Why is he going to Frankfurt?
What's I believe that's a thinly veiled, how did Frankfurt, veiled thing for penis.
How did Frankfurt even get into this equation?
Well, basically, they all moved to Frankfurt after the initial problems that happened in the first movie. She went to Frankfurt to try and get away from that life, but got sucked into the Frankfurt, obviously, incredibly, you know, sort of seedy underbelly.
Or the Frankfurt got sucked into her. Oh, we shouldn't go there.
We should go there.
All right, look, we're gonna move this.
I don't know. I've got nothing. I honestly was trying to create something, some sort of a story, but I actually can't tie Frankfurt and that movie together in any way or form.
Unless it's directed by Uwe Boll.
Oh God, no.
Oh God.
I think this could be his Citizen Kane.
It's not Uwe Boll though, so.
Do we know who's attached?
Yeah, I told you. German writer director Mark Wallander.
Do we know anything else?
As long as there's some
kinky
German sex in it, it might work.
Nah, I'm on it, man.
I've never heard of Mark Wallander before.
Actually Mark Wahlberg. It's just this is a very pronounced Germany.
All right, so we're gonna move into our film review for this week, and I got to tell you, I was very, very pleasantly surprised by this film. Let's have a look at the trailer first, and then we'll come back and talk about this.
Sam Bell reporting to Central. Everything running smoothly. Over and out. Rock and roll. God bless America.
Good morning, Sam. Do you want me to cut your hair then?
Lunar Industries remains the number one provider of clean energy worldwide due to the hard work of people like you.
No. 3 years is a long haul, you know.
I know you're really lonely up there, but I'm proud of you.
2 weeks to go, Sam.
2 weeks to go, buddy.
I'm going home.
Looks like we got a live one. I'm gonna go out.
Okay, Sam.
Leaving Saran working perimeter.
We'll be right back.
Perhaps you're imagining things.
What's going on? Where did he come from? Why does he look like me?
You've been up here too long, man. You've lost your marbles.
2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks.
I don't understand what's happening. This is my mind. I want to go home.
I know.
Okie dokie. That is Moon, directed by... Oh, man, I've lost my screen now. Duncan Jones is his name. I don't have it on screen anymore. But anyway, Duncan Jones, I went... As soon as I finished watching this film, I actually immediately went on to IMDb to see what else this guy has directed, because I thought, wow, that was a really interesting piece of film, and found out that this is actually his feature debut. He had directed one short film prior to that, and I thought, wow, dude, that is... fucking awesome. Now, for those who don't know, the story is basically Sam Rockwell is playing astronaut / miner who is on the very end of his 3-year contract to go up to the moon. He lives basically alone on the moon with the robot Gertie, or the computer Gertie, as they harvest helium-3, which is very interesting to note that I actually read an article yesterday. Duncan Jones was actually showed a screening of it to NASA, and NASA are actually experimenting with something called helium-3, and they really liked the film. They thought the film was fabulous, and they were actually asking him questions like, why did you build the moon base as a bunker rather than like the structures that we take up all the time? He goes, and Duncan Jones was explaining himself, basically saying, well, we kind of felt that they wouldn't want to keep bringing equipment up, so they would have built it out of the materials that were there. And one of the other NASA people goes, yeah, we're actually thinking about something called mooncrete at the moment, where we're actually thinking about making concrete out of moon rocks, you know. And it sparked this incredible discussion at NASA about all the stuff that was in this little low-budget science fiction film. Good for him, because it is a really, really interesting film. Excuse me. We're not going to tell you what happens in this film until we hit spoilers. Now, we're going to hit spoilers really early on in the piece here, because it's a very hard film to talk about without spoilers. Mm. That being said, I don't think there is a kind of a reveal. But if you just saw the trailer, the reveal is actually in the trailer. And believe it or not, most of what happens in that trailer happens within the first 20 minutes of the film. So it's not like it's giving too much away. But there is kind of this weird, odd mystery that has to be taken care of with Sam Rockwell. That being said, all we're going to do before we hit spoilers is just get our initial opinions of this film, what we thought of it, and whether it is worth seeing. And then we're going to move into spoilers, and we're going to really get to the guts of this, because it is worth talking about. I actually am going to go on record and say that I think it is up there in probably the top 5 films of the year. I thought it was fabulous. Mm. I was actually mesmerized by this film. I was taken aback by it. I said to Josh before we went in, I'm very worried that after 2 months of hype, because this came out 2 months ago in the States, 2 months of hype on this film, that I was going to be disappointed. And I wasn't. It is about the journey, and I got to tell you, Sam Rockwell has never been better. Performance of a lifetime. And I highly recommend this film. Let's go to Dave.
I have to agree. As I said, I'm going to save the bulk of what I'm saying for the spoiler zone. Yep. But the one thing I did notice that I really liked was I thought it was very, very clever production values. It reminded me a lot of Cube as far as using absolute minimalist sets and you know, it's all very simple, because he is in this bunker and he is in this moon base, with the exception of the you know, a couple of special effects scenes and stuff like that. So he's got a very, very enclosed environment. I think there were probably only maybe 4 or 5 different sets throughout the entire thing. It was just like one major room, a couple of small rooms, and then a bunker. So I thought it was very clever the way that they did it. I don't know there were too many actors who could have pulled it off, because there was a great range that Sam Rockwell showed throughout the entire thing. And he played it to perfection. He didn't over or underact. It was just
And as you can see in the trailer, it's not much of a spoiler to say that he does end up being... There's 2 of them on this moon base. We won't explain how until we get into spoilers, but... He has 2 distinct personalities, and he plays them both brilliantly. And he never wavers. You never go, oh, he slid from one to the other. Yeah, yeah. He plays 2 distinctly different people, and it really is quite something.
And it's nice to actually have a film without a malevolent...
yeah, we're going to come back to that. Spoilers.
We will definitely come back to
that. I thought Kevin Spacey was fabulous as Gertie.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that he was the voice of, was it Jerry? Gary?
Gertie.
Gertie. Until the end of the movie, and it was like another reveal. I was like, oh, well, fancy that. I might handball this over to Josh.
I just have so much love for this movie. Like, I walked out of that, and the first thing I had to say to Dave was I thought the score in this movie was just absolutely amazing. I think that is the best musical score I have seen for a movie
And it wasn't actually not necessarily. It's not. I agree. It wasn't like, necessarily the most technically brilliant. Perfectly suited.
It was perfectly suited, and it plays out so nicely. And there's so, it's such a movie that has like Dave was saying, the Sam Rockwell is so believable on screen as two separate people at once, and just like the camera techniques are all very simple, very basic. But it's a proof of ability for me when you actually see that you can just really kick off something so powerful on screen as two different people and just sell an entire sort of heart-wrenching scene as two different people.
Yeah.
I never separated in my mind that they were the same person. Like I never brought that together and went, this is Sam Rockwell twice. I bought it as two different people, two different characters. And I thought that was amazing. The visuals, scenes, amazing. But I would expect nothing less from the son of David Bowie. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I'm done. My review's done.
All right. So I think pretty much we can say that this was very well received by everybody.
Yep.
I think, as I say, I'm putting it in
it definitely. It's one of the top five of my year.
One of the best films that I saw yesterday. That's for sure.
All right, so we're going to move into spoilers. If you have not seen Moon and you don't want spoilers, you may want to stop listening right now. This will take us to the end of the show. Just as a quick note, though, Nicholas the Little Geek will be coming on at the end of the show. So once we finish the show proper, he's coming up to the studio, and he's just going to give us a 10-minute rundown because he's now seen Up again a second time, and he really wants to tell us about Up. He also saw G-Force while he was away on camp, and this is a movie that I haven't had the guts to watch because it's not my cup of tea. So he can tell us
how could it not be your cup
from
of
a
tea?
10-year-old's point of view what he thought of G-Force. And also, I thought we might get his opinion on Glee, because funnily enough, he's been watching Glee with us and absolutely loving Glee. So he's going to come up for about 10 minutes at the end and give the Little Geek's perspective on some stuff. But that's after. So after you hear the end credit music for the audio listeners, stick with the show if you want to hear a Little Geek after you hear the end of the show. It'll be added on to the end. For the live listeners, after we finish the show, there'll be a bit of kerfuffling around for about 5 minutes while we get him up here, and then we're just going to go straight into it. And you guys are welcome to stay around and grill the Little Geek on this stuff. It's kind of fun.
Dude, I'm out. As soon as the mics aren't hot, I'm gone.
So that'll be 10 minutes at the end. So we are going to go into spoilers now, because I think there's a few things we really want to talk about, including the big reveal. So this is now spoilers for Moon. Who wants to go first?
It's a clone.
There you go. Bam, he just went there.
He went there.
Yeah. Boom. I have to say that, like Dave, one of my first things to say was it was great from a geek's point of view to have a robot in a movie that wasn't evil.
Absolutely. Yes. I actually waited the entire film for that moment where he was going to, I can't do that, Dave. I waited the entire movie for that, and it was so refreshing. For at that one point when he comes up and types into the keyboard, he goes, "Why did you help me?" He goes, "I'm here to help you, Sam." That's what his job is.
I love that. I thought it was a brilliant touch the way that they had just his how you could relate to the robot character or computer character with just emoticon face.
The emoticons were fabulous.
And it was great with just a flat line or tears or a smiley face.
I thought
face.
That one tear sold that moment, and it was amazing. Like, you could have had an actor in that room and got the same feeling out of me just by the fact that you just had the computer obviously feeling that emotion. That's all we needed, because Sam Rockwell was doing all the work.
Absolutely.
But there was just that one scene that just see that he obviously was compassionate towards his situation, which I thought was awesome. It was just, he was such a lovable character. And, I want to see more of him in a movie.
I want to see Moon 2 Gertie's story.
Exactly.
It's going to be really boring. Gertie by himself.
So anyway, so Gertie voiced by Kevin Spacey, of course, we never mentioned that. I don't think we mentioned that, but he did a wonderful job as well. It's very understated. Kevin Spacey's got that really nice tone to his voice. So I just can't, but you're right. There were shades of it, though, where you sit there and go, it almost feels like Howl. You know?
A good Howl. Not
a good Howl. That's right. As far as the clone, I thought they handled the clone aspect of this film really, really well.
Maybe we should just elaborate. Like whenever anything, that he stuck on this moon base for a contract for 3 years where he stuck mining, and the whole thing is that he can't get an external live feed to get
because
in contact.
Because it's broken.
Because it's broken, so he can't get in contact with his family, so everything's kind of like via video message. And there's an accident along the way. We won't spoil everything in the movie, but there's an accident along the way. And you think that he's done for, and then the next thing you see him wake up in a hospital.
And it's a plausible explanation, because Gertie actually says, you had an accident, you've hurt your head, and some memory loss, maybe.
But apparently each time the clone gets damaged or goes past its use-by date, they boot up another clone,
actually,
and it starts
talking
up
about
again
the use-by date,
that was
another thing that I really liked about the movie, the fact that there was no
they never explained that concept, but obviously they only have a three-year lifespan, because the first one starts to disintegrate, basically. Yeah. He's getting sicker and sicker and sicker throughout the film. But they never actually explain that. Mm. It just is.
It's one of those, really, District 9 moments where it's like there are certain things that
Some of us still haven't watched it.
No. I'm just saying we can just accept.
You haven't seen District 9.
No, it's on my to-do list. I know.
Yeah. But you can just accept that, there's aspects, because you're having such a good time and the movie is so well put together. You can just accept that certain things don't need to be touched on. As a cinema audience, I still believe that we can sell a movie without explaining everything.
We can't. Well, look, there is a saying in the film world, and it's a really derogatory saying, but unfortunately it is real, which is when producers are working towards films, they refer to the 33%ers. And that refers to the 33% of the audience with a sub 100 IQ. Right, and this is who they pander to. This is their core audience. This is where when they're making their summer blockbuster films, they aim it to the 33%ers.
We call it the Bay percentile.
There you go. That's good. I like that.
Let's
too.
Keep that.
Yeah. So the 33%ers in this situation have caused, since I would actually say it's probably since the latter half of the 80s through the 90s, they've caused this real need in cinema where we have to explain everything to the point where. A perfect example is if you've seen the film Predator 2, which is an absolute 33%er movie, where Danny Glover runs to his car, flings open the boot of the car, and sees the shotgun and goes, "Shotgun!" It's like he's explaining what he's seeing. You know, it's like narrating the film as you go, "I'm picking up the shotgun."
That film was awesome. And the only thing that would make it better was as he shot the Predator, he'd go, "Pachoo, reload."
And so it is really nice when you see films like District 9 or you see films like Moon where they don't pander to the 33%ers. They are asking the audience to work a little bit. And I actually really like that. We did that a lot in the 70s. You look at the classic films of the 70s, you got The Godfather and The Conversation. They didn't pander to that lowest common denominator. They made you work for your cinema.
But I think also the thing about this movie is that they, like Josh was saying, there are certain things that they leave unspoken. And I like that aspect too, because it gives you a chance to have your own little slant on what's going on. And there are different things that you can take. I'm sure that there are certain tiny subplots that I'd have a very different take on it to what Josh would have.
I agree.
Or how you'd look at it. And I really enjoyed how they rounded it. I loved the interaction between the two clones and how different they both were. It's like, you know, because you've got one at the end of his tour who is just like, I just want to see my family and I just want to get home to my wife.
I love how it's written as well. Like you were saying, I mean, it comes down to more than his acting as well, because it's also the way the character was laid out. Like I thought that the fact that the older one, the 3-year clone, kept looking back and he would be... He knew this guy, and he knew who he was, because he was him 3 years ago. And there was that whole great feeling where he would be explaining things to him. He'd be like, you know, like, he would be saying, "I know you're angry, and I know you're this," because he knows who he is as well. And the other ones, you know, the more confused, more, you know, sort of, he's just hit the ground running, And you've got this one that's been around for 3 years, and I thought...
And they're never supposed to meet.
Yeah, they're never supposed to meet, and there's that whole, like, one of them's the angry, I'm not going to deal with this, you know, like, I'm angry and I will, you know, express myself so. And then you've got this guy that's kind of been alone for 3 years, and I love that line that he says where he's like, you know, I haven't seen or talked to anyone in 3 years. I'd just like to shake your hand.
Your hand. Yes,
and there's absolutely. A, you know, you can just imagine the
there's
feeling.
There's also a wonderful line where he's talking to Gertie. The older one is talking to Gertie, and he says, "No wonder Ali left me."
Yeah.
Because he's seeing all the anger that he obviously would have put across to his wife at that time, and he's seeing him. It's like looking in a mirror for him.
See, the thing that I liked was which posed the
and
most.
By the way, Ali was gorgeous as well.
Was when he actually gets past the jamming signal and all of that, and he actually gets in contact with, you know, and he finds out that, you know, his supposedly 3 to 4 year old daughter is now 15.
Yeah,
his wife is dead, and that he's actually there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all I couldn't
the source
thinking,
material is
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the source material. I
bringing
couldn't
it
stop
all
thinking
back and
like
him the reality of the situation. But I actually think that's also where that character, I'm not going to say breaks, but realizes the end of his.
That's
like
right.
He doesn't need to exist now. Like, I mean, and I really felt that was a heart wrenching moment.
Well, that's actually that is the turning point. That's when he basically says, "I'm not going."
But you see, that's what I loved about it, because you get to that point where it's kind of like there is, but there isn't any redemption. There isn't and isn't a really happy ending. Do you know what I mean? Because
the redemption for him is helping the other one.
Yeah, like, but I mean, he realizes that there's nothing he can do.
Mm.
You know, like it's done. He can't get back to his daughter because he's already there. He can't get back to his wife because she's gone.
And he also comes to a realization, I think, that he is also dying.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's no point.
You know, he's dying.
Because he sees that tape and he sees the condition of all the previous Sams, and they all look like shit. They're all dying, in some description. I think it's that he puts those pieces together, never once pandering to the audience, but we get to see that, and you can see his thought. And that's the beauty of his performance, is we get to see his thought process.
I like a memorable scene for me, and I was saying today, because I just love the scene, is where the newer one tries to help him and puts him in the shuttle, and he's like, "Do you like?" He's like, "No." He's like, "What? No!" And he like gets really moody and angry. And
what if I have to poop?
Yeah, what if I have to poop?
It's just like, well, hold it, bitch. It's 3 days. He's like, I don't want to, you bastard. He was just like that grumpy old grandpa that everyone's had.
And I mean, my favorite line, I can't remember, when he comes out in the big orange sleeping bag.
He looked like a big, radioactive tampon.
It's a brilliant line. Look, the film is Sam Rockwell, but there's a few little side things. A, the score is perfectly suited. B, the visual effects were stunning.
Considering
I think the budget of this film wasn't much over $1 million. I mean, it was a really low budget film, and yet it just stretches its budget completely to do amazing things. Old school style model work rather than lots of CG work,
which holds up beautifully. I mean,
because it's believable, because we've all seen the, you know, like moon tapes, fake or real or whatever. We've seen what they use. He's really developed it around that concept, and he's also, it's kind of like half that and half early Aliens, you know what I mean. It's that really sparse, you know, sort of
the interiors are very Sid Mead inspired.
Exactly.
The screens and everything, it's all very 80s style science fiction. It really is.
Yeah.
And it was beautifully put together. I can't recommend this film enough. I just love it.
Like, honestly, I have to say, if you haven't seen this film and you don't see it this year, you will miss one of this year's greatest films.
Yeah, and Josh and I are saying, the minute this thing hits DVD, we're there. We want to see the behind the scenes.
I want to see how
the
it was made.
Split screen work is perfect. There is never a moment, as Josh and I were saying, there's never a moment where it took you out of the film and you went, oh, it's just two Sam Rockwells. You really believe,
like, you see
that
films,
they're there.
There's been films with more than one of the same actor on screen before. You've had things like Multiplicity and so on and so forth. You never believe. You always are aware that there's all these different
versions. The only other
film
that sold it as well as this for me was a film from the late 80s, which is a David Cronenberg film called Dead Ringers with Jeremy Irons. And that sold it really well, too. And that was really old school.
The only one that was close to me was, you know, Nutty Professor. It was also another awesome film.
Oh, the family?
I'm kidding.
Hercules! Hercules! Hercules!
Come on, Sam Rockwell. We'll just shoot it out your butt.
All right.
Look at you, boy. You're looking like a giant radioactive tampon.
This is the whole reason why Moon 2 will not star Eddie Murphy. Otherwise, I'm flying overseas and dealing to him myself.
Now, I have to say that Moon in Australia is only showing at the Dendy Cinema, which is kind of a shame. I really wish it had opened wider. It deserves a wider release.
It does.
But so you are going to have to venture out to the Dendy Cinemas to go see this. I think it'll come out on DVD very quickly. Dendy tends to release on DVD very quickly. So it'll probably be out on DVD by Christmas time at this point. But it is worth seeing. For those who are in the States, I believe it's coming out on DVD now in the States. I think it's not far off if it isn't out now. So definitely see this film. I wish I had a fixed budget because Box Office Mojo doesn't have the production budget available. But I remember listening to an interview with him, and I think it's not much over $1 million that this thing cost. Mm. Interestingly enough, it's only taken $6 million worldwide. But when you think about how much it cost, that's actually a really good take.
Yeah. Plus, I think that something like that will recoup a lot in DVD and Blu-ray sales from word of mouth and, you know, the few people who have once. I'm hoping that this becomes a cult classic.
Exactly. Like, it really has. It has all the requirements to become a cult classic.
Mm. I'd also like to point acting. Out that according to the readers' polls on Box Office Mojo, this film rates an A, and it's very, very hard to find films that rate an A.
Yeah, and we were talking about it in the car. There's very little to fault about the film. Yeah. I mean, like, they've spent a lot of time with the set design. They've spent a lot of time with the visual effects. They've spent a lot of time with the actors. Like, there's so little that you can pull out of this film and go, well, that wasn't right, because...
The only thing I...
What?
Actor.
Well, there's more than one actor in the movie. There's about six or seven listed.
I was about to say, Dave, my only criticism of this film is that we didn't see more of the sex scene with his wife, because...
This is definitely my criticism.
She was rocking. She was rocking that chest.
She was rocking, and he needs to be
rocking
that chest.
And this goes on the Pepsi app, right?
How to pick up moon bitches. Latest application from the Pepsi on the Apple Store. Go check it out.
I'm sorry, that was terribly sexist of me, but she was a babe, I got to admit. I'd like to have seen a little bit more of her, because just from a male point of view, she was...
I thought that was a really nice scene as
well. I thought it was, too. I thought it was very well handled.
Like, sex aside and so on and so forth, just the really longing... Like, the camera focuses in that scene really on the things that you would miss, like the memories and the holding people and the tightness and the closeness and stuff like that. Mm. And that's why when he wakes up, he's such a mess.
Yeah. But not only that, like, the flashes that he had when, you know, when the accident happened and everything, that he was seeing his 15-year-old
daughter.
That's
the weird thing. I never pieced that together in my head.
And he was getting all of that. To me, I was waiting for him to, you know, halfway through the film, just look at the camera and go, I am Tyler Durden. Yeah. Because all of those little flashes.
What I did,
the screen,
that's the one thing I did.
Who was the dark-haired girl?
Well, the dark-haired girl was the daughter. But
I know,
how
would he know that?
How would he know
he
that?
He hadn't experienced that.
Or how, like, was that a genetic memory where someone had seen it before?
That's how I took it, as a genetic memory. Yeah. Somehow, you know, it got transferred.
And that was actually very early on in the film when he turns around and she's sitting in his armchair. That's probably...
That was the bit, because, I mean, like, as I was saying to you, when I first saw this trailer, I expected a thriller.
Yeah.
And what we really got was a drama.
We were kind of expecting Solaris, you know, we were kind of expecting this kind of, he's losing his mind, or, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, the robot will turn maniacal, and it's going to be, you know, awesome fun.
I expected
and it turned
blood,
out to be awesome,
death, and...
It turned out to be awesome in a completely different way.
Exactly.
For those who are expecting some sort of weird alien thriller or, you know, maniacal 2001 robot, don't go expecting this film. This film is a very gentle drama. It really is. And the first problem that you're going to have is people are going to say, oh, it's probably slow then. It's not. It actually holds your attention and carries you through the entire time.
It's weighted perfectly.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It really does keep you intrigued and enthralled the entire time.
This
and
is what
you
kind
of know what's happening. I mean, I'll admit, I was so into the film that I didn't even... The concept of a clone didn't even cross my mind. Not for a second. I was like, he's going insane, he's going batshit, whatever. And then when the reveal came out, I was like, I just made myself the 67th percentile of humanity.
I love that one scene where he first wakes up and the other clone is standing at the door when they get our original Sam back. And he leans over to Gertie and goes, Gertie, is there someone else in this room?
I have to say that how Top Gun... Second clone. He had the aviator suit on, and he had the shades,
and then
the
boxing,
and he just had
the
douche face. He was just...
Yeah, I was really interested though, because like I said again, when we got out of the film, I honestly was wondering whether Dave would like this one, because I mean, I know it was slow, and I'm really glad to see that even someone, you know, that is more into the action,
even someone
more
who's
into
slow. Pretty enjoy.
Yeah, okay, all right. If you want to put that, I didn't say it, but, you know. Even someone that, you know, sort of usually is into more of the action, more stuff happening on screen, like, I mean, you'd admit that you're not the biggest drama fan.
The thing is, I am. It's just that...
it's got to be good.
Well, it's got to be good, I mean, and this is what it holds itself.
Well, I've learned from you guys, and I've learned from, you know, my flatmate Suze, that a good film and a good story is a good story, and it doesn't matter what genre it's in. And I mean, as I said, in the last couple of weeks, I've watched, you know, this, The Brothers Bloom, History of Violence, Dog Soldiers. These are all movies that I...
And they're all different genres, too.
Yeah, and they're all movies that I probably wouldn't have watched without urging of Suze, and I'm so happy that I did, or from you guys, because, you know, it rounds you out. And I mean, Moon is I didn't even know of Moon until you guys were like, you're going to see Moon this week. And I'm so glad that I did, because I really enjoyed the experience. I thought it was a wonderful movie, and go and see it now. I'm a huge Sam Rockwell fan, too.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And like, I mean, he's sold himself so many times for me. I mean,
Charlie's Angels. Look, I was going to say, the first time I ever saw Sam Rockwell was Charlie's Angels. And I just went, who is this guy?
And Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Well, which came later, though. That came later. Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah, and let's not forget his little support character in Galaxy Quest.
Oh, Matchstick Man?
Galaxy Quest.
You don't even know my surname,
and Mr. Grady goes, you have a last name? He goes, do I? Do I?
He's like, I'm just a red shirt man. I'm meant to go out and get killed. Maybe you're the plucky comic relief. Yeah, man, I can totally play that. It's awesome. He's got the gun. He's swinging it around.
Loved him in Galaxy Quest. All right, we're going to wrap this up, guys, because I think we've reached the end. I think the general consensus is Moon is one to go. The other general consensus is that the world will come to an end soon when the Large Hadron Collider
and we will
active.
Be ready with weapons and
Book of Eli style Fallout 3
unless
style.
You're Jewish, and then you can do a 300 Sparta type thing and we'll all be going to heaven, so
and watching Moses all the way. Okay. So a little bit of housekeeping. First, we're going to say, if you have any feedback on the show, if you agree with us or disagree with us on our reviews, send it to feedback@geekactually.com. if you are an iTunes subscriber, please put some reviews up on the iTunes store. It helps us go up the ranks. If you want to help us out at all, we do accept donations to the show. We are actually trying to raise money at the moment, in particular because of this science fiction film that's being shot in Melbourne. We want to try and get down there, and actually I've spoken to the director and he says he'd love to have us down there. So I really want to get down there and get some shot set footage, interview the people. We actually had two of the actors auditioning in this very studio just last week, so it was a lot of fun. We should have the director on Skype via Skype in the next couple of weeks coming on to talk to us, so we'll keep you informed on that. Do catch Platforms on Monday nights for your video game news. It's a lot of fun, this show. So you come along, and if you don't want to come to the live feed, you can always download it on iTunes. Just do a search for Platforms.
Yeah. Spenny, you better be there this time.
Absolutely.
I'm looking for you, man. I'll be upset if you're not there.
All right. What else we got? We've also got to make sure that if you are listening to the audio feed of this on as a podcast, you can watch us live every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I used to like it when it was standard time. There's a lot less words. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, UTC plus 11. If you want to catch up with more of me throughout the week, you can follow me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/David McVeigh, all one word. Or you can friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/David McVeigh, all one word. Where can we find more about you, Mr. Dave?
Well, the same thing about the Facebook thingy with the / and the Dave Kaziki.
although you're Dave dot Kaziki. That's
right.
Now, Kaziki, for those who want to spell, is K-O-Z-I-C-K-I.
Oh, my God, he got it right. I am stunned. Also, I thought
he's
I should reiterate
that
I had to get it right.
The views expressed on this show by myself are not endorsed by any publication that I work for. just to make that abundantly clear. But
well, you're a freelancer. You can say what you want on this show.
Motherfucker, I want to work next week, all right? I got one mouth to feed, all right?
Actually, I must say, we didn't actually mention any of the publications this week.
I work for Australian Penthouse, Dave's favorite. and a bunch of other gaming magazines. And, of course, you can catch me on Platforms at 7 p.m. on Monday.
Excellent. And Mr. Josh, where can we find you? Oh, I don't know. Make it up yourself.
Where can you find me, Dave? You can find me at JB Hi-Fi at my new job in a couple of weeks.
And you mentioned the name on air.
That's all right. It's all right. I'm sure that they're not worried. I'm only a casual there anyway, so really. You know.
And I say damn right, because we need to do full disclosure.
Exactly.
I think when you finally finish at your previous job, you should just come on and just say their name like 15 times in a row.
Yeah. I'll just mention a whole statement of them. I'll just be like, when I was working at...
We will rename platforms for the shop that you used to
We'll go on the show normally. We'll just have a giant banner behind us. Sucks.
Just a giant banner that said, I used to work for...
Loving it.
All right, where can we find more of you on the internet, Josh?
You can find me on the internet at Facebook under Facebook.com/GeekJosh. And apparently I'm on Twitter as well at Dogmeat with a 3 instead of an E.
Yeah, but you never check it. So what's
I never check it. Doesn't mean people can't friend me. If I had more friends, maybe I would use it. I'm just saying, maybe.
All right, guys, it's been fun. Remember to catch for the audio listeners and, of course, for the video listeners as well, but it'll just be a little bit later. We are going to bring the little geek on in just a minute. But in the meantime, go see more movies. You don't see enough movies. All of life's questions are answered in the movies, and I think in particular we can say that about Moon.
Seacrest out.
See you guys. We're now joined by the little geek, Nicholas McVeigh. How are you, Nicholas?
I'm fine.
You're fine. Now, we've been trying to get you on the show for the last couple of weeks.
You keep blocking me.
But with colds and camps and the particular topics on the show or whatever it might be, we just haven't got to it. But we're here now, and one of the things we want to actually talk about this week is you saw Up a second time. No, third time. Last night, and we've never actually got you on to the Up show, so we really want to know. We've talked about Up ad nauseum, about how much we loved it and everything else, but you know what? The core audience, the person who it is really, really aimed at, we never actually got up to the show to tell us what they thought of it. So, Nicholas, what did you think of Up?
I loved it.
What exactly about Up was it for you, though?
Oh, I actually really liked it.
Talking to the microphone.
I actually really liked it.
Yeah, was there any particular aspect of the film that you really liked? What is it that grabbed you about the film?
Did you enjoy the characters? Or
Yeah,
or
I like
the visuals,
old man.
Or the balloons, or the house?
I like the old man.
You like the old man? Which are the bad guy or the good guy? The good guy. Mr. Fredrickson. You like Mr. Fredrickson? My personal favorite character was Doug the dog.
Yeah, me too. I just met you and I love you.
I love the cuteness of the little kid.
And the little kid was adorable.
In most cases, I find characters like that really annoying, but he's just really, really cute.
I like, my wilderness adventure GPS will never get lost.
Is this in spoilers? Because it was one bit.
We're just going to assume that the entire Little Geek section here is a spoiler zone.
Oh man, I just forgot it.
It'll come back to you. It'll come back to you. Because we're going to talk about a couple of things. So first of all, if you were to put all your Pixar films together,
now I remember.
Oh, yes?
After you tied your stuff down, you took a nap. So then I threw us down.
All right. Now, as far as the Pixar canon is concerned, which is your favorite Pixar film? Where does Up fall in this?
I think it's my second most favorite Pixar.
Which is your favorite Pixar?
Toy Story.
You're still Toy Story. Old school, old school.
Yeah, he's going old school.
Old school, going old school. I actually put Wall-E as my favorite, I think.
Definitely.
But
Incredibles.
Incredibles Falls is my number three. I love the Incredibles
and Bug's Life.
Wall-E's your number three. Toy Story, I got to say, I've still got a really soft spot in my heart for Toy Story. I thought Toy Story 1 and 2 were both really good. I don't really hold much hope for Toy Story 3.
You seen the new trailer?
No, I haven't seen the new trailer yet.
Yeah, I have.
It looks all right.
Yeah,
it looks like they've gone.
I'm in 3D.
They've broken away from the whole surrogate kid, that sort of, you know, growing up and moving away from him and all of that sort of crap. Because you know you're assuming now that the main character's pretty much in college. So, I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, but it does look interesting.
We might actually play that trailer on next week's show. We'll bring up the trailer for next week's show. because I am curious to see it. So you liked the old man, you liked the kid, you liked the dog. What did you think? We actually had, now I want to know from a child's point of view, I know Josh in particular had some issues with the age of the bad guy. And not, he didn't feel that the age was right. He felt he should have been older.
You know,
did you buy the age of the bad guy?
Yeah, he looked like he was older than Mr. Fredrickson.
Ah, see, then that was my point. He looked like he was older than Mr. Fredrickson.
I think maybe it's because one of them's really short and one of them's tall. one of them seems so athletic for someone so old, you know? Like,
I love that scene. Speaking of athletics, I love the sword fighting scene.
Yeah, yeah.
with the bad back. I thought that was great. With the locking up of the bad back. All right, so, but I assume by the fact that you've seen it three times now that you are highly recommending this film. And you think it is...
never gets old.
Now, the other question I wanted to ask you about it, because it's something that came up in a few other podcasts, and we talked about it as well. How did you feel about the first 10 minutes?
I thought it was very, very sad.
It was sad. But did it feel out of place to you? Because I know another podcast, which we won't name, actually said that they felt at the beginning felt out of place.
What does that mean?
It shouldn't have been there.
It should have been there.
They said it was too sad for a Pixar film. You know, and I don't agree with them. I actually thought it fit beautifully. And in fact, I thought the opening was quite beautiful, actually. But you think it works within context of the rest of the film? Oh, well, there you go. See? So bite me, other podcast. All right. The other film that you saw over the school holidays, for those who are overseas, we're coming to the end of the Australian school holidays here. And Nicholas got to see another film during that time, which was G-Force. Now, this is a film that I've actually kind of avoided, I have to say, because it looks a bit young for me. And I think Josh and Dave are under the same sort of feeling. But you went to see it. Now, this film is aimed at your age group. So what did you think of this film?
There was actually some very funny bits for me.
Yeah?
There was one bit when they were chasing the guinea pigs in the car, like the government was chasing them. And they started to turn on the song of the, you know, what you used in your trailer for Worried About Darwin. And the car was just moving sideways because it was on their back. So it was like
So yeah, but I mean,
it was okay. It was
as an overall product,
it was okay.
It was okay. So it wasn't great though.
No,
it was all right though.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, so for the 10-year-old market, you would say it's a fun diversion. But if there's something else,
oh, and someone at camp, because it's sort of a camp. Someone said it was better than Wall-E, and I do not agree with them.
Somebody actually thought it was better than Wall-E. Oh, my God. All right, so you don't agree with that, though, because you actually have some taste. So we won't name the kid at camp, though, because we don't want to embarrass him.
I don't even know the name.
Oh, you don't know his name. That's all right, then. All right, so...
Look, you know it's going to be crap because it had Nicolas Cage in it.
Nicolas Cage. Hold on, Nicolas Cage was in what?
G-Force.
Is Nicolas Cage in G-Force?
Yeah.
I did not know that. There's another reason for me not to go see it.
There you go.
I did not know.
However,
have Will Arnett in it, which is cool.
I'm sorry, but
if you want to see Will Arnett, man, Monsters vs. Aliens.
Hold on, we've got a call from the floor. Remember, this is Little Geek section, and the call from the floor is, who is Nicolas Cage?
He's a fantastic actor. He started off doing a lot of different sort of work in Vampire's Kiss and Raising Arizona. Then he went on to put the bunny back in the box with Con Air.
But the film that you would most know him from, Nicholas, would be he played Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider. I didn't see that much of the film.
Or National Bowel Movement.
I don't think he did. You see National Treasure?
What's that?
That's the one. What's that? So you obviously haven't seen it. Nicolas Cage. Where else would Nicolas have seen Nicolas Cage? He's seen a few action films. He hasn't seen the.
He did the voice in The Ant Bully. He did the voice of Dr. Tenma, the tragic character in Astro Boy.
He hasn't seen Astro Boy. You'd know Nicolas Cage if you saw him, Nicholas. But yeah, he's played Ghost Rider as a human when he wasn't having the flaming skull head.
I thought it was actually him when he had the skull head.
Well, actually, he was, but they matted his head out, which is probably not such a bad thing. But anyway, yeah, he played Ghost Rider, and he's one of the voices in G-Force as well. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about was because I've talked about it on the show a couple times, and I absolutely adore it. You've been watching Glee with me.
Yeah.
Now, traditionally, we wouldn't think Glee is a kid's show, but you really seem to be taking it. What is it about Glee that gets you?
The gym not the gym teacher, the
cheerleading coach. Cheerleading. You like the cheerleading, which is played by I think one of your favorites, Dave, which is Jane Jane from Two and a Half Men and 40-Year-Old Virgin. Is the coach of the cheerleader squad in Glee. What's her name?
Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch, yes.
She's fantastic.
She's wonderful. She is so caustic in this. So, and you also like some of the music in it as well. You go around humming the end credit music. It's a fun show. So if you had your choice of watching G-Force or episodes of Glee, where would you go?
Episodes of Glee,
good for you. That's my boy. Anything else you want to throw in there? Now, I also want to make a quick announcement.
Oh, I got to see G-Force for free.
That's true, because you were at camp, and that's a very good thing. I think if you had to pay for it, when was the last time you actually paid for a movie?
Never,
because I pay for your movies.
You know,
but
it was free, anyway.
All right, so I think we're going to wrap this up, but I think before we wrap this up, I think we
Explosion
do need... We do need to say Nicholas has been playing a hell of a lot of Explosion Man.
It's Xbox Arcade if you have an Xbox. It's a really good game. You should at least get the demo.
Josh is giving it the thumbs up. Josh has played it as well. It is a fun game, and Nicholas plays it ad nauseum. So, and you haven't finished it yet, though, have you?
I am onto the last level of the game, and it's pissing me off.
Maybe Josh can help you out with the last level. All right, and the other thing that we want to make a quick announcement for is that you have some new films up on YouTube, including a Halloween movie. And people should go over to YouTube and have a look at your movies because they are very, very good. In particular, the Halloween movie is quality, and really, really enjoyed it. And in fact, is voiced by... none other than Mirren, who was on the show here last week. So she's done the voice for it. So it is worth having a look. Thank you very much for joining us, Nicholas.
Okay.
And we will get you on the show again soon once something else has come out that is kid-friendly. And believe it or not, boys, I might actually be venturing to Astro Boy again. Because Nicholas wants to see Astro Boy.
I weep for your brain.
So I may have to venture forth to see it. Because, you know what, and I still stand by what I said in the review. I think, and we can test this theory, I actually think it is perfectly suited for the 10-year-old market.
I will contest this theory.
The 10-year-old boy market. So I think we need to take Nicholas to see it. Nicholas thought of Astro Boy. Because I actually said in the review that, yes, we actually had problems with it because of the fact that we liked the original. But I said, I think a 10-year-old boy would really get off on this film.
I like the original too. I watched all the cartoons.
Yeah, I know, regardless of that, even though you like the old ones, I think you will still enjoy it because I think this film is aimed at that market and I think you would actually quite enjoy it. So we will test that theory by taking you to see Astro Boy at some point and getting your opinion on it on the show, okay?
Okay.
In the meantime, thank you very much. And where can people find you on YouTube?
Nikki McVeigh.
Nikki McVeigh. So your channel is just called Nikki McVeigh?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So go look for Nikki McVeigh on YouTube, and you can have a look at his stop-motion animation films, which are a lot of fun, including the latest one, which is the Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
Okay, so Trick or Treat, which is his Halloween film. Thank you very much, Nicholas.
Just that everyone's doing it online, so I guess I'm just going to make a Halloween film.
Why not? Absolutely. All right, thank you very much for joining us, Nicholas, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Bye.